Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Good afternoon, my conscious co-creators. Welcome to another edition of the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. I am very, very pleased that you are here with me today. Oh, we've got a wonderful show in store for you. I have a great guest in studio, which you guys know I really love to have our guests in studio. And we will introduce you to her shortly. But first, of course, we have our quotes of the day from Mike Dooley in the Universe and from Abraham. Let's see what they have in store for us today. First, from the Universe. Sometimes understanding their fears helps you to understand their actions and their pain. Plus, understanding their fears sometimes help you to understand your own. Ti amo, the Universe. We love our quotes from Mike Dooley in the Universe, reminding us about how much we can learn from other people and what's going on around us. Because ultimately, what we see in the world around us, what we see in the people around us, it is almost inevitably some reflection of something within us. There's some energy, some vibration that we're holding that causes that to be in our world. And I always kind of liken it. It's like two people could be walking down the street, and one person can see somebody yelling at another person, and the other person can be totally oblivious to it and see somebody helping somebody else. But they're both in pretty close proximity to each other. Why does one person see one thing and one person see another thing? And it all has to do with their energy. It has to do with, what are we vibrating at? What are we focused on? What are we connected to? And so when this happens, when we see fear, when we see pain in other people, it's really about what are we seeing within ourselves? Because that pain really wouldn't bother us so much unless we had that pain somehow within us. That fear wouldn't bother us so much if we hadn't had that fear within us somehow. So when we can understand and see why is somebody fearful, why is somebody in pain, that really is a big lesson for us to understand what is going on within us, what is happening with us ourselves. So it's really a big lesson to understand that, why is somebody in fear? Why are they in pain? Why are we in pain? Why are we in fear? And that's ultimately what it all comes down to. So it's a wonderful quote from the universe, just reminding us that, you know, sometimes understanding other people's fears really helps us to understand our own fears. And especially, I mean, this is a wonderful quote for today and where we're at and sort of just the general atmosphere, because there's so much fear running around and being rampant. And a lot of people are like, I don't understand it. Why are people like this? It's crazy. And it's really, we don't take the time to understand how do we hold that fear ourselves? Because it's out there in the collective unconscious. It's within us as well. So let's see what Abraham has for us. It's not necessary for you to exacerbate your contrast with struggle in order to get it into a higher place. It is not necessary to suffer in order to give birth to desire. But when you have suffered and you have given birth to desire, so what? You've got a desire. Turn your attention to the desire. Think about where you're going and never mind where you've been. Don't spend any more time justifying any of that stuff. Abraham. A very great quote from Abraham, because it really, you know, this is something Abraham loves to get into, and that is that, you know, yes, we experience contrast. Yes, we experience struggle, and that contrast and that struggle launches, as Abraham says, rockets of desire that helps to clarify within us our own desires. By experiencing what we don't want, we know that much more clearly what we do want. But what Abraham here is really trying to say is, like, great, stop focusing on the struggle, stop focusing on the contrast. Once you have that rocket of desire, once you have that clarity of what it is that you do want, that's where your focus should be, completely and totally. Forget about the struggle. Forget about what it took for you to get to that point where you had this desire. Now it's time to focus on the desire. Because what happens so often is we get so caught up with the pain, with the fear, with the contrast, with the struggle, we forget that our focus really needs to be on what it is that we want, not what we don't want. And it's so easy to allow ourselves to kind of get sucked into what's going on around us and get sucked into that thing that caused us so much agony, that we don't really focus on the fact that, like, this agony has brought us to a point where it's like, now I know what I really want. I want friends who are like this. I want to surround myself with people who are like that. I want to keep myself in a greater state of joy and health and entertainment and fun and gratitude. And because we're so focused on, like, this pain and suffering that's around us, we forget to focus on the gratitude. And that's what Abraham is saying. It's like, great, you had that contrast, wonderful. You're more clear in your desires, marvelous. Let's stay there. Once you've gotten there, there's no reason to look back. There's absolutely no reason to give our attention to what is or what was in the past. We're giving our attention to what it is we want to bring into manifestation. We want to give our focus completely and wholly into what it is that we now desire so deeply in our heart of hearts. And that's really the key to all of law of attraction. You know, there are all these people out saying, oh, the secret of law of attraction is this, the secret of law of attraction is that. There is no secret to law of attraction. It's really simple. Keep your focus on the things that you desire. If you notice, the people who really, like, manifest the most amount of stuff in the world around us, they're the people who have kept their eyes, their heart, their mind on what it is that they desired so, so much. And they kept their focus there persistently, consistently, and with a thirst and a hunger that would not allow them to veer off course. And that is what law of attraction is all about. Keeping your focus on that desire, keeping your focus on what it is you want to manifest. So, two wonderful and kind of related quotes from the universe and from Abraham. And always, as always, very, very apropos for our guest who we have in studio today. And it is my extreme pleasure. Give me 1 second, because just getting the Facebook live stream up. Okay, and it is my extreme pleasure now to welcome to the Conscious Consultant Hour intuitive dowser, life coach, neurofeedback practitioner, and amazing healer, Hope Fitzgerald. Since her spiritual awakening at Findhorn in 76, ooh, Findhorn, that brings back memories to me. Hope has been a dedicated seeker of truth, healing, and wisdom. For 20 years, she's been opening her channel to higher guidance through intuitive dowsing and her spiritual coaching with this tool that has helped transform lives. In 2010, Hope received a series of visions, which we're going to talk about, a massive wave on its way to Earth, representing an incoming evolutionary push for the planet, which ultimately morphed into a standing figure eight made of flowing water. And it is my extreme pleasure to welcome Hope to the Conscious Consultant Hour. Welcome, Hope.
Thank you so much, Sam.
It's great to have you here.
It's a pleasure to be here.
And I'm really happy we finally got our Facebook live stream working. I don't know why I didn't want me to record the quotes, but it's up and running now, so we're in good shape. So I'm just curious. I mean, you're like myself, a bit of an old timer when it comes to this stuff. How did you first get on your spiritual path? How did you even know about Findhorn to go there?
Good question. Well, I, you know, in looking back, I realized that I have been on a spiritual path my whole life. I mean, when I was nine, I was begging my mother to take me to every different house of worship there available. I was reading the Bible myself just because I felt like it.
Really?
And it just seemed natural to me.
Wow.
But, and it wasn't really fostered. I wouldn't say anybody was saying, here, you know, you have to read this.
Right.
So I went on, and then my mom was a very forward-thinking person, very open-minded.
Okay.
So she was already talking to psychics, you know, when I was in elementary school. She did Est at the very beginning.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
She worked with...
Yeah, she did. And she also found out about meditation. And she had me take a meditation course when I was a junior in high school.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So I learned how to do that. And then.
And let's give a little context. I mean, you know, today this may sound not that far out, but we're talking 1960s, 1970s.
Yes.
I mean, back then that was really unusual.
Really radical.
Yeah. Really radical.
And you didn't really talk about it.
Right, exactly. Because if you talked about it, you were ridiculed. You were like, oh, you're one of those weirdos.
Yeah, you got a lot of raised eyebrows.
Yeah.
You know, she's gone off the deep end.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I, then she's the one who had a book on Findhorn, the Findhorn Garden. And I just happened to pick it up. And at the time I was 21 and I read the thing cover to cover in one sitting. And she came in the door and I said, I have to go here. And she said, well, I'm going in July. You want to come?
Oh, wow.
And so that's how I went in 1976.
Wow. Oh, my God. That's amazing. That's amazing. I mean, I've never been there myself, but and I learned about it probably 1980. I started to hear about it and the stories of how they grew like watermelon size strawberries and, you know, how like praying to the plants and the divas and really bringing a very spiritual practice to the garden, like just created an amazing environment.
Well, I highly recommend reading the book. It's had a reprinting with some new pictures in it, The Findhorn Garden.
Mm-hmm.
And it tells the story of how the garden was planted in sand. Literally sand.
Oh, right.
This is a bit of sand that goes into the North Sea. It's northern Scotland.
Right.
Nothing but seagrass grows there.
Right.
And by working with the plant devas and interacting on the deepest level, and by the way, that was the first time that I heard a version of the law of attraction. They called it the law of manifestation. And they were able to manifest literally to the most specific detail what they needed that day, whether it was eggs or wood or manure. They would ask for it and it would come exactly as they asked. And they had a rubber tree. I mean,
oh my God.
I mean, you cannot imagine. And it's like being in Kansas where you look in one direction and it's all barren and brown. And then you look in the other direction and it's lush and green.
Oasis.
It really does boggle the mind.
Yeah, it does. It does. Really. And like anybody who's like young or hasn't heard of Finhorn or like is new to all the spiritual stuff, really check it out. Finhorn Garden, because it is a real history of like where a lot of modern day stuff comes from in the spiritual movement. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk about what happened for you at Findhorn and, you know, what happened afterwards. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. My guest this hour is intuitive healer Hope Fitzgerald, and we will be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Hello, I'm JC.
I'm Joan.
And welcome to 21st Century Entrepreneur. We bring education,
insight,
knowledge,
awareness,
trouble,
craziness, and fun
for you, the entrepreneur who's looking to build your business
and your community. Listen every Friday from noon to 1 Eastern on talkradio.nyc. And you can tweet us at 21st CE Radio or Talk Alternative.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
And welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We do this every Thursday, 12 noon Eastern Time here on talkradio.nyc. So Hope, we just started to get into your background a little bit. So in 76, you went with your mom to Findhorn to experience the amazing garden. You say that's when you had your spiritual awakening. What happened to you there?
Well, up until that point, I had a pretty logical mind, and I would say the logical part of me also continued on, but I didn't realize until I was at Findhorn that it was actually barring me from fully experiencing a spirituality that doesn't make logical sense. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
And the energy at Findhorn was so huge and profound that every day in our classes, you could see almost like another soldier falling. You know, everybody would go, "Okay, I can't take it anymore." You know, and they'd open to the energy, and it took me 3 days, and then it just like cork popped out of my head, and I went, "Oh my gosh, I see now what I've been missing." I've had understanding of certain things. But you know, the famous Buddha quote, the longest distance is from the head to the heart.
Yes.
And it's that. Now, I wouldn't say that was where I was then, and that was a huge leap, and that started a whole trajectory of learning and education that carried on very quietly, very under wraps, because of course it wasn't fully safe.
Right.
For decades.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to think of enlightenment as I understand it now as not a destination that you arrive to and suddenly, you know, you understand all. I tend to think of it as a series of enlightenments, a series of understandings that you've been in a glass box and shattering that. And then you go on and you grow to the next box. Yeah. And you always think you're done with boxes, but but no, you're not really.
Oh, you got some thumbs up on that one.
Yeah. So it, you know, that keeps us humble, right?
Right.
But I progressed along for many years, and then we moved to the Berkshires in Western Massachusetts, and I had another series of glass box breaking. And then in 2010, which is sort of bringing us up to the last.
Just one quick question first. When did you kind of go public about this stuff? Because as you said, you kept it kind of under wraps for a long time. When did you finally like come out as this healer?
After 2010.
Oh, after 2010. Oh, yeah. Okay. So it wasn't until, okay, go ahead.
No. So I would do things, and I read tons of books. I took different seminars and classes here and there as I could, because I was raising a family. Mm-hmm. But in 2010, I had a very challenging year, very, very hard year. Family eruptions and very dramatic things happened, requiring a great deal of my time and energy. And by September, I realized that all my tanks, mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual, were on dead low.
Oh.
And I knew if I don't get some healing, I'm going to get sick. You know, that's just what happens.
Right. Absolutely.
So I went out to the Pacific Northwest to Tom Kenyon. And he had two back-to-back sound healing workshops, which he has never done before and never had done since. This was very special that this happened. So I went out and I had these, and my goal going into them was to, I always say, wipe my inner bowl clean, get out all the detritus, and really remove stories, lineages, this lifetime in particular. I wanted to be empty of all of that. And I didn't exactly know why, but I was on a warriorous path with this. I was so dedicated to it. So I went in and I had what I now would call a shamanic initiation.
Oh, really?
Through this whole time. I didn't know. I wouldn't have
called it that at the time, but now with the perspective.
Exactly. And on the very last practice of the very last day, I had had so many changes, so many aspects of me burned and gone away beautifully. And I had one last question, which was to understand sort of the overarching reason for this very dramatic year that I'd had. You know, I got my answer, and I was so filled with gratitude and awe at how it had all worked out and how I had participated in setting it up that I internally said, I am a willing vessel. Do with me what you will, out of my gratitude and my surrender to this huge truth that I had just come to understand. And so I came home delightfully empty for 3 days. And on the third day, I had a series of three visions. Okay. Now, I wasn't in the habit of having visions, especially walking around in my living room. You
know? In broad daylight.
In broad daylight with my eyes open. Yeah. No, that didn't exactly happen to me every day. I had had a lot of psychic experiences and things that had happened, but, you know, this was definitely a different situation. Now, I will say that I had developed a pretty strong dowsing practice up to that point. Now, when I talk about dowsing, I'm talking about, you know, one can use a pendulum or one can use dowsing rods, L rods, they're called, or any other, there are other dowsing tools. And I had become familiar with what I call dowsing rods, or what is known as dowsing rods. And they had really directed us to do some things that were not totally logical, but we were strongly urged to do so. For instance, moving to Massachusetts, even though my husband worked in Connecticut, and things that people would scratch their heads and did. I know they did. They thought I was nuts. And, you know, but they said, no, you have to go, and you have to go in the spring of 2006, and they were insistent and what day to put my house on the market, what price to put at. I mean, very, very specific.
Wow.
And so I was not in the habit of saying no at that point, even. And this was a very risky thing.
Right.
It turned out to be, we sold the house at the very top of that real estate bubble. It literally started to fall the next week.
Oh my God.
And then we were in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. We didn't know where we were going to live. We had a very interesting situation. Anyway, eventually we were able to buy a property and built the dream house, which was for me a green house, meaning eco house.
Right.
And I was able to do everything that I had wanted to do for years in terms of building a healthy and a ecologically conscious home.
Right.
And so we did that, and we moved in 2009, and then the next year had this difficult year. Well, I had doused all of these things all along the way, so I was used to working with my guide team. By that point, I had started to have dowsing clients, and so that was a little toe out of the closet, but I wasn't fully out. So let's catch up now.
Right.
So I have these visions.
Yeah.
So I have this giant wall of water, and it's hundreds of stories high. It's quite beautiful. It's turquoise, and it doesn't feel threatening.
Mm.
And there's a byline that goes with it. And it said, "This wave represents a push of evolution that is coming to the planet.
Okay.
If you choose to resist it, life is going to be harder for you. If you choose to swim or surf with this wave, then your personal evolution, your spiritual evolution, will go much more smoothly." Okay, end of that vision.
Okay.
Next vision. It's a cross-section of the wave from the sideways. So, you know, when you see a curling wave that shows a surfer, you know,
right.
So the byline that went with this was, "As the wave pulls away from the shore and deepens into the seabed to get its power, its energy to create the cresting wave," right? So you should leave everything you know, all our knowingness, on the shore.
Okay.
Go to the energy of the earth and the wisdom keepers of the earth, the ancient ones, the aboriginals, the Celtic, the various teachers, and the earth itself, and take that wisdom and mix it with this incoming push of evolution.
Okay.
And then instead of this letter C that the wave was making in its crest, just kind of falling down in the water, it curled around and turned into this standing figure eight made of flowing water. And there was no byline. And it hung out in front of my vision like this for about 3 days.
Wow. Oh my God. Did you think you were going crazy?
I mean,
I just know, like, if that happened to me, I mean, I'd be, like, enthralled, but I'd be, like, questioning myself, like, do I need to check myself into a hospital?
That's exactly what I thought.
Yeah.
And on the third day, I sat down with my dowsing rods, and fortunately, I've worked with them in such a way for so many years that yes and no questions are not the only way I can go with it.
Oh, okay.
And I realize that I get nudges, you know, and how to ask things. And
right.
So I sat down with my rods and I said, "What is up with this?" And eventually what came out was that this figure eight had a name. It was called the Infinity Wave.
Okay.
That it is an energetic, it's a living energetic.
Mm-hmm.
It is a 10th dimensional energy that is love and compassion at a very distilled level. So this is way above the energy of our emotional abilities to feel love and compassion. It's very distilled.
Okay.
And that's inherent in the water. And the purpose of this was to help us in our evolution.
Okay,
that's all I knew. And then they told me that I had to create workshops about this. And I said, no.
About what?
Exactly.
About watery figure eight?
What the heck, you know? And then they subtly but kindly reminded me that I had declared myself a willing vessel. So I always say, be careful what you wish for.
All right, great. Let's hold it there. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, let's get into what the Infinity Wave really is all about, how people can use it, and how you've worked with it to help people in their lives. Okay.
Sure.
Wonderful, Hope. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. And if anyone wants to call in and ask a question, our call-in number is 877-480-4120. Or on our Facebook live stream, if you go to facebook.com/talkingalternative, you can put a comment in the Facebook live stream and we'll talk about your comments. So everybody, please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
If you have an interest in marijuana, you want to know about marijuana, law, policy, and culture, then feel free to join me, Joseph A. Bondi, every Friday at 11 o'clock in the morning on my show, In the Know 420 on TalkingAlternative.com.
Hi, this is Rob Kay.
And I'm Callie Alpert.
And we're hosts of The Rob and Callie Show. Are you looking for a show that talks about real stuff, like life, love, the pursuit of being yourself?
Then you have come to the right place, because we cover topics ranging from chivalry to gratitude to your relationship with money and everything in between.
So listen to us on The Rob and Callie Show, Tuesdays, 8 to 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.myc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We're having an amazing discussion with Hope Fitzgerald. So Hope, so you have this watery figure eight following you around for 3 days. You get subtly reminded that you said, well, you said you'd be a willing vessel. Like, what happened next?
Well, as I said, they told me that I needed to create workshops about this. Mm-hmm. And I have some higher degrees in education. And so I know I say that only because when you teach, and I had been a teacher, I'd been a mm-hmm. producer, I'd been a theatrical person, I performed, I was a singer, like, so okay. I was used to leading.
Right.
And right. So there was not a discomfort in that. Right. I also was used to pulling a course together that would hang together and make sense.
Okay.
So when I was being told to teach about something, I had no idea what it was.
Right.
I was justifiably not only terrified, but, I didn't like this feeling of not knowing.
Right, right. Because you had to just kind of show up and be present, and you're not really prepared.
And I went ahead and I reserved a room in December. And we were told to have 9 workshops. So the way it worked was 1 weekend a month, January through September.
Oh, wow.
And the full workshop was 3 of those weekends. So January, February, March. This was all doused out.
Okay.
And so I had no idea still when I booked the room, paid for it, how do I even you know, I had friends who were interested, and they did sign up, thank goodness. Very trusting, wonderful friends.
Yeah,
and,
thank goodness for those.
I had a very good friend who was by my side this whole time. And what she and I would do was to sit down once a week in the first 3 weeks of January, and I'd sit there with my rods and hope that something would happen. And sure enough, I felt myself, I would feel kind of a pressure coming in, and I would feel myself move to the side, and there was this urge to talk. I would talk in a different voice. I would talk often quite slowly, quite low, you know, like have this voice come out. And what ended up happening was what came out were practices, were guided meditations. And so I thought, okay, I've got three guided meditations. I have a whole weekend workshop. And I went back to Findhorn, because it wasn't like I was walking around talking about spiritual evolution, you know, before any of this happened. So I went back to Findhorn, and what they had taught us there about Teilhard de Chardin and his philosophies on evolution, and I sort of cobbled together a framework for thinking about spiritual evolution, but way down the line, you know, this energy, this infinity wave I was learning a little bit about was a very futuristic technology. Okay. Not everybody initially at that time was going to get it, you know, but those who could would be drawn to the work. So I cobbled together this thing, and I have to just speak a moment to what you said earlier about did I think I was going insane? You know, like you, all these books on my shelves were about people who'd had these breakthroughs and these visitations and all kinds of very woo-woo out there things. By the way, woo-woo in Chinese, that's the shaman of the village. The woo, so that's
oh,
a
I
real
never knew that.
That's actually an honor, that word. That is an honoring thing. So I'm
Now that's like totally brings it a whole new meaning,
right?
To me.
Doesn't
it?
So, but there, these were, you know, I was acquainted with all these kinds of breakthroughs and instances that people, all kinds of people, had had. I just never expected that I would be one of them, and so my rational mind kept arguing with the experiences that the other mind was having, and
right and left, like going at it.
Totally. And I share this because at some point we make a decision about who we're going to listen to. Now, all along I'd been listening to my guidance with my rods and other ways, religiously. I mean, not to use that word lightly, that, I mean, very dedicated. And, so when this big new activity was happening, I found I was in another glass box, and I needed to shatter the image of myself that I had had just a few short days before, you know, or a week before. And I had to keep shattering it as each new thing came in. I had never thought of myself as a channeler, and yet I was channeling, because these were not my thoughts, my words.
And actually, the way you described it, how you like stepped aside and this pressure comes down. I mean, I've interviewed so many channelers on the show, and it, that's like a classic formula of what happens. You get very small, you get out of the way, and the energy comes in, and things start coming out of your mouth, and you don't even know how it got there.
Exactly. And half the time, I didn't remember.
So it was, you were a trance channel.
Well, no, I was kind of in an in-between state.
In-between, okay.
I could see the words coming down before they came out of my mouth.
Okay.
And every now and then, there'd be a word that I didn't like.
Oh.
And I, now and then, I'd try to go and like take that word out.
Uh-huh.
No.
Like what kind of, what would be a word you didn't
like?
Well,
one word in particular was the word detonator.
Oh.
I didn't like that word. It felt violent, right? But no, That word was absolutely precise and necessary in that particular channeling. Mm. So I learned very quickly that I'm not allowed to edit. And I'm an editor. I love to edit. Right, you know? So, wow. So again, more and more levels of trust and allowing. Yeah. And I say this because it was scary to show up with something that I didn't really know, that I didn't really understand fully, and to then lead a class in that. And I did not want to be a spiritual teacher. I didn't think of myself as that. I'm really I do feel like I am a guide, but not the teacher, you know, in that head of the room kind of way. So
let me ask you, because I want to move along because we're getting short on time.
Yes.
So what happened in those workshops to your students? What happened to the people who showed up? Like how did they show up? And then what happened to them when they left?
That's exactly the thing I was going to say. They came in one way and they went out another.
Okay.
They came in, one was about to leave her husband, one had no work, one had a health problem, and they came out and that woman never left her husband. Work came in the door, and I was able to track this, and I did. I stood back sort of, you know, with my scientific mind watching, because everybody feels good after a weekend of meditating and whatever.
Sure.
But this program looked to me like it had legs. It would last from month to month. The joy quotient went way up. People started to use the wave in all the ways that we were being told to use it in these channeled practices.
Can you give our audience just a little bit of an idea of what that means? Like, how do you use the wave? It's a watery figure eight. What do I do with it?
Okay, first of all, trust your imagination. You have to use your imagination, which is really our key to other worlds.
Right.
And try not to poo-poo it.
Right.
So you can imagine using this energy of any size. It can be microscopic. It can be all the way to the cosmos. You can use it in your body, for instance. If you have an ache or a pain, I've used it quite often with pain. Acute pain, you just turn the volume of the water up, make it run really fast, and then you just let it be. You let it run. And you can you use it in your heart to soften your heart. These days especially, going back to the fear that you talked about and the struggle, the heart tends to clench and get very tight. You put a wave in there. You put that figure eight in there. And you don't have to, you know, manufacture love and compassion. It's inherent in the flow.
Right.
So you just let that flow work in your heart. And sure enough, your heart starts to soften. You start to widen. You can make it as big as you want. And you start to expand and be able to tolerate some level of vulnerability, even in the face of all the things that are happening.
Okay.
So these are little ways to use the wave within the body. And by the way, if you're angry over something, take the wave, put it in wherever in your body that that anger resides. And run it full tilt boogie, and instantaneously you will start to shift.
Right. So how about in your own life? I mean, as you're like teaching this, you're learning about how this thing works. Obviously, you're kind of being present. It's coming through. So it's all new to you, too. How did you use it in your own life that it helped you?
Well, that particular example I was just giving, I had a teenager at home who was picking a fight with me one night, and you know, I took myself out of it.
Okay.
Went to my bedroom, sat down. I was my belly was tight. I was so mad, and then, you know, like I could have had a V8. I realized, oh, use the wave, dummy.
Right.
So I put it in my belly, and all I did was concentrate on that shape and letting the water run like a rushing river. And as I concentrated on that, I noticed that there was another aspect of me that started to relive the conversation and play the movie back. And I saw where I had contributed to not a great conversation.
Right.
And then the next thing that happened was I started to see what I could say to make it better. And then I started to actually find humor in the ridiculousness of it all. And when I opened my eyes, my body was relaxed. So the cortisol had stopped coursing through my veins, which we as women need because it stays in our bodies for 24 hours.
Oof.
So I opened my eyes. I thought maybe I'd been there for half an hour. Mm-hmm. 5 minutes.
Oh, wow.
That quick. Emotional 180 in 5 minutes.
Wow.
And I was able to go and talk to my child and set things straight. And we were both fine.
Oh, wow.
So that's one way to use it in the body. And I used it that way. I'm telling you that I have so many stories, but through the course of those 9 months, I learned so much. Mm. I developed these they gave me 9 practices, which I used and learned about over the course of the 9 months. And by the end of that, I was convinced that this is a real thing and that I was not insane. I was still a little afraid, but I was more confident that this was something legitimate because so many people had so many transformations and their joy went up.
Wonderful. Wow. Amazing. Amazing. Believe it or not, it's time for us to take our last commercial break of the show. Things go by so fast. So everybody, please stay tuned. When we come back, we'll catch up of like what's happened since then until today. And we'll let you know how to find out more about Hope and where to find her. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on TalkingAlternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to SecretsOfTheSire.com.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We've had just a fascinating, fascinating hour with my dear guest, Hope Fitzgerald. So Hope, all these experiences, the workshops that you did, that all started around 2010, 2011. It's now 2017. What's happened since then?
Well, at the end, yes, I'll try to be as fast as I can. At the end of 2011, I had a remarkable meeting just by chance with a woman who is very well known in, I don't know if you know about the telesummit world, and this is a call-in or internet show where you interview people. Right. And it happened to be a woman named Jennifer McLean who had a show called Healing with the Masters. I didn't know telesummits. I never heard of them, and I hadn't heard of Jennifer, but I met her. She said she wanted to work with me. I said, sure, not knowing what that meant. For about a month, I didn't look at her card, and then I went back, and then I saw Deepak Chopra and Wayne Dyer on her show, and I was like, what is this? Mm. Well, long story short, she produced my CDs and MP3s of my practices. What I didn't mention is that I play crystal bowls along with the practices. I douse for which bowl wants to sing with each practice.
Oh.
And I view the bowls as living beings as well. Mm-hmm. So we're all working together in this thing.
Yeah.
And so I got launched to the world. Now, they had told me that this was meant for a wide audience, and here I am living next to a sheep farm in Great Barrington, and, you know, I'm thinking, how wide are you talking, you know, like to Pittsfield? Or that's, you know.
Yeah.
But no, they said to the world, and I had no idea how that was going to happen. So it happened with Jennifer, and then many shows after that. So I have continued in my work. I have continued to develop new practices. I did a second set with her a couple of years later. I have taken this into death doula work.
Wonderful.
I also take people around the world to very powerful places. South Africa, southwestern France, England, Ireland, Peru. I'm taking a group to Peru in September.
In September? Mm-hmm. You know, I have to tell you, I know like about six people taking groups to Peru like in the next 6 months. It's amazing.
Wow. It's a very incredible place. And the thing is that how we can use the Infinity Wave, we started to talk about that.
Right.
It's really a communication device.
Okay.
You first and foremost, I believe that every single person can go direct to source, spirit,
absolutely,
whatever you want to call it.
Absolutely.
The Infinity Wave is a communicator for that. So if you imagine yourself sort of in the apex of it, in the central part, mm-hmm, you run the wave down into the earth, you run the wave over your head, and you open to this direct communication. That's one way to use it. You can use it interpersonally. It's heart to heart. And you can do it with the other person being conscious and doing it with you.
But you can also
do it quietly and silently, which I love. So,
and, you know, it's interesting because I have heard of other people talk about sort of the give and take of energy and imagining like this infinity sign between you and another person, whether you're communicating, though this kind of adds that dimension of water in the visualization, which is different.
Well, yes, it adds the love and compassion at a 10th dimensional level.
Yeah.
So, you know, what you quoted in the beginning was about, you know, what you tend to, where you're resonating is what you're seeing, what's being fed back to you. And also the struggle and releasing yourself from stories of struggle and to moving forward.
Yeah.
So, you know, just the act of noticing, oh, I see this is what I'm perceiving on the street today.
Right.
You know, I'm seeing things that are negative. Stopping, running yourself in a wave of love and compassion, which again, you don't have to manufacture the love and compassion. Every act that you do of that lifts you up in your spiritual evolution, and it changes your vibration. Because if you're giving yourself first and foremost a bath of love and compassion,
okay,
that changes all your molecules.
Right.
You know about how the quality of the water you drink affects your cells.
Oh, yes.
I only drink structured water.
Oh, okay.
And because I want enlivened water enlivening my cells.
Mm-hmm.
And the water in the Infinity Wave is there for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
So just think of the fact that when we run this watery infinity between us, we're actually saying the water in you is now connected to the water in me with this high quality love and compassion. How could we not have a great conversation?
Right, absolutely.
And you know, I don't ask anybody to believe this hook, line, and sinker.
I say,
look,
just try it,
play with it, have fun, do it with the checkout person, do it with the cab driver, do it with your beloved other, do it with your animal, do it with the rocks, the trees, the plants. Do it with the sun. It's powerful with the sun.
Oh, I bet. And the moon.
So.
And the earth.
And the earth. Absolutely the earth. Oh, yes. It's powerful.
Right. So I mean, basically, I just want to recap and to make it very simple for our audience to just try and play with it a little bit. I mean, essentially what you're saying is you're sort of in your imagination, imagining this figure eight infinity sign made of water. And you pretty much can use it for anything. You can make it the size of a cell. You can make it the size of a galaxy. And you can just imagine it between you and another person, between you and another object, or yourself in the middle, maybe between three objects. I mean, you can kind of just use it for anything.
That's right. And it's very simple.
Right.
It's nonverbal.
I love simple things.
I know, right? But that's the only way that we could have an energy that could reach everybody.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
There's no wrong or right way to do it. Remember, it's alive.
Mm-hmm.
So if you invite the Infinity Wave to dance in your life, it'll show up in the way that it wants to be used. You don't have to work so hard. So you actually kind of take a back step from all this intentioning. Because a lot of times when you're working with the wave, it knows the highest and best. I have a great story, which I don't think we have time for, but I did witness, and there was somebody else in the room who witnessed a 180 that a person did. I went from being in a frozen in a box, non-communicating, to warm and bubbly and in a nanosecond once I sent her a wave blast. And it wasn't me saying, you know, I wish you'd be more friendly.
Right.
I just went, huh, I don't like this picture. I want a different one. And out comes this wave. Mm-hmm. I didn't even control that. That's what was asked for. Right. And the person went, boom, and shifted.
Right.
It was mind-boggling.
Wow.
And that's when I realized this is so powerful.
I see.
This is so powerful.
What has been the biggest lesson for you in all of this?
Oh, my gosh.
In the exposure to this?
Trust. Trust and faith. You know, trusting that we are co-creators. I'm not doing any of this by myself. I could not do this by myself, and I would not do this by myself. I work with my guide team, with the earth, with all the elements. I work with everything, and that's what we're here to do, to create a heaven on earth.
And over the years that you've been working with it, has it evolved, or is it just your understanding has evolved?
Yes.
And is it continuing to evolve?
Yeah, well, the wave itself, the only way that I can say that I've noticed it evolving is that it's more powerful now.
Okay.
So, in 2011, they said, okay, the wave is going to be, this push is going to be coming in over the course of the year.
Right.
And I have to say, I looked, because I understand the collective unconscious, I looked in every rock store, crystal shop, you know, co-op, you know, I looked for the figure eight because I knew that it couldn't just be my own thing.
Right.
I saw nothing. 2012, January, somebody serves me a cappuccino with that shape in the foam.
Oh, that's
and
great.
I'm like, well, then I saw it on the sidewalk. Somebody spray painted it. That starts showing up in packaging. It starts showing up in jewelry.
Oh,
and
wow.
It is now the number one tattoo for women.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
So, you know, it got real in 2012, and it's been building ever since because and we can look back and say, wow, life sure has gotten faster.
Yes.
Things have certainly been shaking up since 2012.
Absolutely.
And it's not going to stop.
Right.
And so how we rise to all of these issues, struggles, et cetera, and now we have a tool to do that with.
Right.
We can say, okay, this looks like a bumpy road.
Yeah.
I'm going to be in flow. I'm going to choose this love and compassion for myself, for others, for the whole nine yards, for the earth, for the whole journey.
Yeah.
We all chose to be here now for a reason.
Right. Exactly.
How does that show up? And trusting those inclinations. You know, this is why I use dowsing, and I recommend others to do the same thing.
Wonderful.
To learn to work with your tool.
Wonderful. Excellent. Excellent. So if people want to learn more about this infinity wave and about this practice, where can they go?
Well, my website is www.we-infinity.com.
We-infinity.com.
Yeah.
Wonderful. And they can find everything there, how to contact you and sessions and workshops. Any events coming up? Any workshops coming up?
I have
up?
A workshop which still has some space left, first weekend of May in the beautiful Berkshires.
Ooh.
And then I have this trip to Peru in September. I'm going to be at the Dowsers Conference in June in Saratoga Springs teaching there.
Oh.
And I'm doing a workshop at the Infinity Foundation outside of Chicago in June.
Cool. Well, Hope, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. Thank you so much for coming down and being
Sam,
here.
Sam, thank you. It's been a joy, really. Thank
wonderful,
you.
Wonderful, wonderful. And so just a quick announcement before we sign off, I want to remind our audience that today, April 27th, is the monthly meeting for the Conscious Business Collective. We are meeting tonight, 7 to 9 p.m. on 25th and Broadway. Please RSVP, and to get the address, go to our meetup group, which is meetup.com/conscious-biz-collective, and all the information is there. Please join the group, RSVP. If you haven't signed up for our newsletter, if you are signed up for our newsletter, look at the bottom of the newsletter. The link to register is there. Thank you all for tuning in today. Next week, I've got another amazing woman coming in. Rachel Harris, author of the book Listening to Ayahuasca. This woman is a therapist who has done like 7 years of research of ayahuasca usage in North America. Very extensive, wonderful book. We're going to have an amazing conversation next week. I hope you can join us. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we will talk to you next week.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Hello, I'm JC.
I'm Joan.
And welcome to 21st Century Entrepreneur. We bring education,
insight,
knowledge,
awareness,
trouble,
craziness, and fun.
For you, the entrepreneur who's looking to build your business
and your community. Listen every Friday from noon to 1 Eastern on talkradio.nyc. And you can tweet us at 21st CE Radio or Talk Alternative.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on TalkingAlternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to secretsofthesire.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Talking Alternative.
Hi, this is Rob Kay.
And I'm Callie Alpert.
And we're hosts of The Rob and Callie Show. Are you looking for a show that talks about real stuff like life, love, the pursuit of being yourself?
Then you have come to the right place because we cover topics ranging from chivalry to gratitude to your relationship with money and everything in between.
So listen to us on The Rob and Callie Show, Tuesdays, 8 to 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.